Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Filling up right behind the Bills bench right now with their flags and their hey, 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 hey.
Hey, 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 hey.
Let's go Buffalo chant.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Sal is going to join us on this victorious Bills Football Monday, and he is brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it is the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? Good morning, Mr. Capaccio. Happy Monday.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good.
Good.
Good. Yeah. So do you just cut and paste the Josh Allen portion in your arrow up, arrow down column now? Or you just, right?
It's pretty amazing. Like he shows up every week. Usually, though, sometimes, and it almost happened this week, I debated. Sometimes I'll have something about Josh. It actually did happen this week, actually. I'll usually have Josh in the arrow up and then something about Josh in the arrow down, which I did again this week because of the penalty. But usually it's because of a play, wildness, or you know, just not playing hero ball. And I only did a little bit of that, but really more of it was the penalty is what showed up on this one.
So with regard to that, you know, what would you even say about him in those moments? And by the way, anyone just tuning in, we're not like criticizing Allen's game and saying he played terrible. I mean, of course, he gets a late touchdown. He's been great. But in those moments, and we saw it in Houston, and I think fans might have been reminded a little bit, frantic? Like, how would you describe it, and what do you think it is that happens in those moments when he starts to get a little bit? On the broadcast, they talk about, like, his timing. Everything kind of speeds up for him. Like, maybe he's a little bit, I don't know, frantic might be not be the right word. Speeding up might not be the right word. What would you use?
I would use, I don't know if things speed up for him. I think he feels a pressure to have to make a play. We've talked about this a lot, right? I think that he sees what's going on. He feels the avalanche, right? In those moments, it was happening in Houston last year. Things started to go awry. Things started to go against the team overall. It happened yesterday. He starts to me to feel like I need to make a play for my team. That's my job. I'm the leader here. I'm the guy who has to bail my team out. And I think that's so things in his head start to say, I have to make a decision and take a chance I normally wouldn't. That's what I think it is. So, and sure, I think when that starts happening, there's an internal clock maybe that starts to go a little bit different. You don't feel as relaxed and you kind of speed up a little bit. It's probably natural in a lot of settings, but I think with Josh, it seems like it's even more so with most people, right? Where he's such a competitor, he's such a leader that he feels the pressure to have to make the play when other things are breaking down. And I think that's what gets him in trouble ultimately. And it basically did, but not to the level we've seen before in this game here, obviously.
Yeah. It ends up being a heck of a watch, you know, like, whether it's, you know, the face mask play, the third and 22, the touchdown pass to Croft. It's just, I don't know. I guess people used to say the Michael Vick experience. We're starting to get the Josh Allen experience, and it's provided a lot more highs than lows this year. 10 touchdown passes through three games.
And 12 total touchdowns. It's pretty amazing what he's doing. I'm actually still mad right now that his one interception shouldn't have been an interception. Like, I'm actually mad that the stat line that you see for Josh Allen overall, like when the national media goes, look at this stat line, da-da-da-da, and one pick. And I'm like, but that's not a pick. That wasn't a pick. But anyway, hey, he's thrown the ball in harm's way a few times so this year. So, you know, he finally does have an interception. But you're right, guys. I mean, the numbers he's putting up are pretty historic for the Buffalo Bills for recent NFL. We saw the stat last week with Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes after two games. Here after three games, over 1,000 yards. I saw one last night, and again, I know the game has completely changed and whatever, so I'm not calling him Jim Kelly or anything like that, but it is actually very similar to Kelly's 91 3-0 start. They have a very similar number of yards passing. They both have exactly 10 touchdowns. The difference is Josh actually has also run for like 80-something yards, and Kelly ran for 1 yard through those three games. But anyway, that's a big difference. Well, but it's pretty historic.
And one way to do it, you know, is compare to the peers in those moments and at that time. Like, Kelly was one of the best at that time. And right now, Josh Allen's one of the best at this time. You know, comparing him to the rest of the league, he's doing it. The Bills are second in the league in passing yards.
It's pretty amazing. I'll have something written this morning, and I don't want to spoil it too much, but it's reminding me of I'll spoil it here, but I'll say it again. I'm going to go over it again on my extra points. I'm actually writing it before I was writing it a little bit before I went on. But you know what it reminded me of? I sat back last night, and I'll talk about this in the extra point show, guys, when I get there. But I sat back last night, and it reminded me of the movie Gladiator. Are you not entertained? Is this not what you wanted, right? I mean, this is what we all wanted. We wanted to be entertained like this, and for good reason. And it's happening, and it's at the expense now, obviously, and the reason is because he says that to the crowd in the Gladiator, because here's this death and destruction, but this is what you all came for to see. We all have been clamoring for this. We've been clamoring for this high tempo, or this, high octane offense to basically score a lot of points and say, who cares if the defense gives up 20-something? But you know what, guys? I think we're realizing along with that, because we haven't had it, is, boy, like, it makes you think, okay, now we have to figure out the defense because we don't want to live like this all the time.
Well, they played a really good offense too. Yeah, no, you're right. The script is completely flipped around here, and I think we're all still kind of getting used to it, what comes with it. But I can't, I mean, Sal, can you talk also, I mean, Josh Allen is the big story. You know, if you're on Twitter yesterday, you're already seeing, like, national media people talking about early season MVP candidate and all that stuff. But Brian Daboll and what he's been able to do with this offense, what he continues to do, if you could just talk a little bit about his job, not just working with Josh, but the game plans he's put together, the variety of ways he's come up with to beat other teams, to scheme guys, seemingly multiple guys are now open. 2 years ago, people would watch the All 22 and call us up and go, guys, you can't fault the quarterback. Nobody's getting open. Now it seems like everybody's getting open, and I'm guessing that goes to the offensive coordinator who's designing all of this.
Yeah, I think it is. Obviously, Brian Daboll has done a great job. And, you know, if you watch that Peyton Manning thing that I talked about.
Yeah,
and,
I did.
And, you know,
yep.
It's amazing, you know, how he shows the concepts that they're running. Mm-hmm. And he's really done an amazing job with Josh Allen and with the offense. I think it's twofold, the job that he's done. Number one is this year, if you want to talk about in the immediate, it's the offense and running these concepts and switching the personnel up to, you know, fit what Josh likes, fits what Josh does well, and fit his personnel. And know that this is how you have to win in 2020. You have to win like this in 2020. And I think we've all kind of understood that and realized that. And even the Bills have alluded to that over the last couple of offseason press conferences and things like that. But then the other thing is, guys, and I think this is what's ultimately going to land Brian Daboll a head coaching job in the NFL, is what he's done with Josh Allen specifically. From Josh has had one offensive coordinator since he's been in the league. It's Brian Daboll. And to go from where he was in 2018 to 2019 to 2020, and that growth and development, when you look at Sam Darnold of the Jets and you look at Baker Mayfield of the Browns, the two quarterbacks, and I don't know what Mayfield's numbers were yesterday, whatever, but you understand my point here, that these are the quarterbacks taken before him. And for Josh to be where he was, and then, oh, am I still with you guys? I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're fine. Yeah.
Okay, sorry about that. I have to just fix something here on my thing here. Okay, anyways, for Josh to be where he was and then to be where he is now basically is pretty amazing compared to the rest of, you know, how quarterbacks are normally developed and how these guys have not developed. And now I think that just speaks to Brian Daboll's coaching, his development, and why I think he's going to be a name that people are going to want. And I don't want to put the cart before the horse here and jump, but I think people are going to want to hire Brian Daboll to do that for their quarterback this offseason.
Yeah. And Sal, you mentioned Mayfield and Darnold. You know, with both those guys switching coordinators, getting switches at coach, like, the Browns are 31st in passing yards. They've won two in a row. They beat Washington. But it's almost like with those guys, they've had to hit the reset button because something went wrong along the way with a coaching staff or a coaching change. And the Bills, what we're seeing is year three, and at no point did they ever have to say, okay, start over again because we got something wrong along the way. Granted, it might not have gone to plan. Like they planned on sitting him in year one, but the progression has been steady with the occasional huge jump, and that allows you to never have to hit reset and just keep opening things up to where here in year three, they just – we've talked about it a lot. I heard you guys talking about it on the roundtable, how much they trust him, how much they just – this is the guy. This is their quarterback. You used the phrase last week, franchise quarterback. There is complete trust and belief in him and their passing game as a whole.
100%. That's what it is. I think that's the word, trust, right? It's Brian Daboll has told us, since, you know, going back to last season, I remember, I trust Josh. And, you know, you could say that about your quarterback. We've probably heard coaches and coordinators say that about their quarterbacks over the years here in Buffalo, but I don't think they really did. You know, and I think their skepticism has to come along with that when you hear that. But now you see it. It's showing up. He truly trusts Josh. He puts the ball in his hands in the most critical of moments and plays. I mean, even something as simple as three straight runs down in the, you know, 5-yard line when we all kind of had this debate a couple weeks ago about, is he running too much? But that's what it called for. He called for that particular play. That's what they had obviously game plan for all week and said, when we're in this situation, this is what we're going to do. He trusts Josh Allen to have the ball in his hands in the most critical plays in the game. They have probably 2-3 plays to get to try and win the game, maybe 4, depending on if they run or whatever, they could stop it. What do they do on first down? They ask Josh Allen to throw the ball. They're not saying, hey, let's not make a mistake here. We have 4 downs, right? We can use our timeout. We can run Devin Singletary, use our timeout. We can even run Josh. They put the ball in their quarterback's hands to throw it into the end zone in that situation. And I just think that speaks volumes of where this offense is, and especially where the trust is from the head coach to the coordinator, the coordinator to the quarterback.
We were talking earlier too, Sal, in this whole point. I know last week we brought up the idea they take the lead in Miami, and then that very next drive, they're still throwing the ball. They get the touchdown to John Brown, and Jeremy brought this up earlier. So it's 28-17, okay? They go up 28-3, it's 28-10, they have a turnover, it's 28-17, the interception that shouldn't have been an interception. And then the Bills get the ball with about 3 minutes to go in the third quarter. Now the Rams are coming back, right? They've shaved into that lead, and the Bills go 3-and-out. It's pass, pass, pass. I mean, there were 3 pass plays called. Incomplete pass, completion, sack. And you might – and it never even dawned on me to think and say, McDermott, what the hell are you doing? Run the ball. It's an 11-point game. You want to start killing the clock here. You got to try and, you know, shorten the game, blah, blah, blah. No, they have that mentality of trusting the quarterback, believing in the passing offense, and 28's not enough. Let's get more. Let's not bleed the clock and hope the defense shuts down L.A., let's go and try and get more points. And that's not something we've lived in here for quite some time.
Right, but here's the other thing that when that happens, Howard, now we get into a spot where if they do that and they go 3-and-out, how many people are calling your show today, or maybe even you're coming on saying, I can't believe they didn't do what got them there. I can't believe they didn't do what fits them best. Why did they slow it down?
Yeah.
Why did they do that? Because I think that's the trick. We debated this in on the broadcast, and we talked about it at halftime. Like, there's ways it was actually, as the game was starting to do that, I think Steve and I don't even know if it was on the air or off the air, but I know we had this conversation. Like, this is the point where you have to decide, like, do you want to do that? Do you want to start running the ball and bleed some clock, but or do you want to do what kind of is your bread and butter and what got you to where you are,
yep,
which is throw the ball?
Yep.
And I think that whichever way you choose, if it goes wrong, you're going to get criticized. But I like this new way, which is, this is our philosophy, this is our belief, and we're going to put the ball in the hands of our franchise quarterback. And that's what they did against Miami. I think, and again, I wrote that article last week about him being a franchise quarterback, mainly after watching what happened in the fourth quarter at Miami when the Buffalo Bills said, hey, you know what? Even though things are really going against us and we're only down 3, we could hand the ball off and go down and kick a field goal and just win this game and get out of here. Nope, we're going to 2 drives in a row. We're gonna take shots, and we're gonna go down the field, and we're gonna score.
Yeah,
it's the transition we've talked about it a lot. It's not even aggressive versus conservative. It's just our best play is throwing the ball, so we're gonna use the best play, right? Because whenever they throw the ball, that's the identity of this offense. That's who they are. So yeah, we'll do the thing we do really well. Although we did mention, Sal, yesterday that we saw the first really Great highlights from Devin Singletary. Been kind of a quiet performance in the first 2 weeks, and yesterday he was a big part of what they did offensively.
He was, and I think Devin Singletary has, and like you said, you just said, quiet first 2 weeks. People forget he averaged 5.5 or 5.6 last week per carry. 10 carries, 56 yards, right? And then this week he has another really nice performance. Devin Singletary, in the one in this one, though, guys, he is so good in the open field, it's unbelievable. I mean, he just makes guys miss. Missing tackles everywhere, and it just helps the offense gain extra yards they normally would not get. That's the thing I was impressed about Devin in this one. There were some nice runs, but really more than anything, it was he bailed them out of a couple situations where he was caught, and he got a first down, he got a long gain down the sidelines. It was a nice game for Devin Singletary. I think he's a nice piece to have to your offense. He's not a guy you're going to lean on for 25 carries a game. There's no doubt about that, but hey, 71 yards receiving and another, 71 rushing and another 50 receiving. The guy had 121 total yards yesterday.
Sal, what happened to the defense in the second half?
I think a few things, guys. I saw a stat actually, and I don't know, and I have to go back and look like where this actually like fits in on each individual part, but I do think it matters. On opening day, opening weekend, the NFL has these, they send these, stats out about every roster around the league, like in general.
Mm-hmm.
The Bills are actually one of the lightest teams in the entire NFL, if you know that. They're actually one of the lightest. They have more guys under like under 200 pounds or something like that than any team. But statistically, they have one of the lighter teams. And I think that they were not physical enough or big enough to face a very big and physical Rams offensive line. I did look. The Rams offensive line is basically 300-plus across the board. And they just imposed their will, and they were more physical. And I think the Bills are a little bit undersized on the defensive side. Sure, they have, you know, some guys that got some, you know, Vernon Butler, Harrison Phillips, whatever, but they rotate a lot of guys. And most of their players are not like that. They don't have Star Lotulelei. And I think they missed Star yesterday. I think they missed some bulk. And those guys can help tie up a little bit. You know, what's the thing we say about Star when he's in there? He can help tie up linebackers to allow a guy like Tremaine Edmonds to do what he's got to do. Well, you know, Tremaine Edmonds struggled yesterday. I do think it was partly because of maybe the shoulder. Maybe he's not 100%. But, you know, that he's out there, he's playing, so he's got to make plays. You can't make that excuse. But I also think it's because he's not clean anymore, right? If guys are getting up on him and, you know, they can get a big physical lineman can get into him, I think that hurts him a little bit. And then, you know, I think that they're facing a really good offense, obviously, that's very, very well coached. Jared Goff is good. He's accurate. He's a lot better in a Sean McVay offense. I don't think he's a system quarterback, but he works perfectly with that coach in that system, right? I mean, he really accentuates his strengths. So, and then, I mean, they just have talent too. Give credit where credit's due to the Rams, but I do think the Bills were, I think it showed up yesterday, guys, that they're a little bit lighter, and they went against a really physical offensive line that ran right at them, and that showed up yesterday, and teams are going to take notice. You know who's going to really take notice? The New England Patriots.
Yep.
That's what the Patriots are doing right now. And I saw some of that Patriots game, and I looked at some of their stats. The Patriots are running right at you right now, and I think that's something, and I know they're down the road, but that's something I think how teams are going to try to attack the Bills going forward is physically trying to beat them up front because the Bills are a little bit lighter.
Well, you might get a good test of how you can fix that this week against the Raiders, because the Raiders are going to do that too.
They're going to try. Yeah, I mean, Richie Incognito's out. I know he's on IR. That's an important player for them. But you're right, Josh Jacobs, they'll feed him the ball. I think the key with the Raiders is, you know, get them down a little bit. Maybe they'll start throwing the ball, and maybe you can take some opportunities. But you're right, Jeremy. And then you think about the next game after that, Derrick Henry. Right, and what the Titans like to do. And then you know that the Chiefs, you know, they've Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and we know they have Patrick Mahomes. But I think teams are going to test the Bills running the ball now, because I think they're going to feel that they have a physical edge against them due to their size. And what makes the Bills defense good a lot of times is their athleticism. But with that athleticism, you're sacrificing some size sometimes for the kind of players they want. So, you know, it's a chess match. Not every offense is going to be like the LA Rams, obviously, but I do believe that. I think that's what happened. And then once that starts happening, now you're like, okay, we got to commit an extra guy to the run. I mean, Dee Marlowe started playing yesterday. Dee Marlowe, I think, started the second half for Taron Johnson. To me, that's not a coincidence. That's because you need more size. You got to have more size and your slot spot. It's not because Taron Johnson was bad or anything like that, and I have to look to make sure, but I believe that's what happened. So if you start committing more guys up front, guess what they're going to do? Okay, we'll just run play action, and we're going to get a couple guys running free. And I think all of it just started snowballing in that respect.
Sal, what will you be watching for tonight? Chiefs, Ravens. Bills fans will be scouting, right? These are the two that are on a tier that you want to get to.
Yeah, I think I want to – I'm not going to watch the two quarterbacks specifically. I want to watch how each defense defends them. You know, the Chiefs don't get enough credit for how good of a defense they had last year towards at the second half of the year. And I do think there's times where they can be leaky still and things like that, but they did a nice job. But the Ravens, you know, they have a good defense, and I want to see what they do against Mahomes. So, you know, we'll see. If one of the two teams can figure out a little way here to really slow down the other, I think I want to see how they exactly did that.
We will see you at 10 o'clock, Mr. Capaccio.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Al.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.